Have you ever wrestled with what's God's will for my life? And if you're like me, I settled the majority of that a long time ago, but there's still little things that come up that I need to wrestle with. So we talked about between the lines. If anybody remember that message, and what we looked at is that there's a providential will of God. It's like Highway 99 out there. That Highway 99 is that if you get on 99 going south, you're going to go to L.A. That's where you're going. It's going to take you. No matter what you do, if you're on 99, it's going to turn into 5. You're going to L.A. Well, that's the providential will of God. That God has a will that no matter what, whether you like it or not, whether you want it or not, it's going to happen. No matter what. God designed when Jesus was going to come. God would tell us when Jesus is coming back. It's the providential will of God. And that's kind of like Highway 99. Then I said, you know, we got those white lines. I call them the fog lines. So when it's foggy, I make sure I stay on the road. And that's the moral will of God. That we kind of stay on this road. Because if you get over that line and you drive on the side of the road long enough, you're going to crash and wreck. Well, it's the same way. If you live outside of the moral will of God, sooner or later you're going to crash and wreck. But if you stay between those lines, and somewhere between those lines is God's personal will. That when you were born, God knew you, that God had a plan for your life. There's a personal will of God. And so we've been looking at that, and we're trying to get there. And so last week we looked at what went wrong. And we talked about basically three things. Remember that last week we said sometimes we don't even ask. That sometimes we just don't even ask God. And that there's other times when we lose too much logic. You know, we got the pros and the cons. And then sometimes we got this selective hearing. We hear what we want to hear. But this morning, let's narrow it down. How do I know I'm on the right road? How do I know I'm going the right way? How can I understand where God wants me? And so if you get your outline out, we got some scripture and we got a passage here. As Paul wrestled with what God was doing in his. Paul was following God. Paul didn't follow God for a long time. Matter of fact, he persecuted Christians. He had what we call a Damascus Road experience where God confronted him. And he changed his way and he changed his life. And then he began ministering on a mission for God. And that led him to a town called Ephesus. And he ministered in this little town of Ephesus, a port city, for several years. Started several churches and did several things. Now it's time to leave after 3 or 4 years he's been there. And so he's kind of writing this letter telling them goodbye. And it's kind of his farewell speech. I want to kind of look at that and I want you to find there's 4 things in there that describe the journey of following God. Look at what Paul says here and says, "Now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem. Not knowing what will happen to me, I only know what in every city the Holy Spirit warns me, that persons and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." Paul's kind of sitting there saying, listen, here's my farewell, and here's what's my path, and here's where I'm going. There's 4 things I want us to catch on to. And the first one, if you look at the outline there, it's the Spirit's prompting. That God has a spirit. It's called the Holy Spirit, and he prompts us, and he leads us. And we need to listen for that prompting and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Look how Paul put that. Look at the scripture. "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem." Now, compelled by the... He's compelled. I gave you the Greek words there. I like throwing in Greek now. She's kind of showing off my education a little bit. You know, that way Laura feels like she paid for something when I went through school. Here's what that Greek word means. You see it there? To bind together, to wrap, to chain, and hence, to imprison. It expresses supernatural binding. And there's some verses there. I gave you some verses that you might want to look up to kind of see. And then you got the Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, God, the Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-eternal, and the Father, the Son, the wind, the breath, the Spirit. God, what it's saying here is you are chained, you are compelled, God is leading to the extreme, and that you can see it, that you can feel it, and that you can know what God is up to. And that's what he's trying to describe here as he looks at this. Now, I pray that some of you as a Christian have felt that. Some of you as Christians, have you ever got that feeling where you know, I just got to do this, that there's just something in your heart, something pulling you, something compelling you, that's just kind of pulling you in there, that says, I need to make that visit. I need to make that phone call. I need to go do this to serve somebody. I need to give this money to so-and-so that's out of work right now. Or I got to bring a bag of food. Maybe I've got to do something with the Samaritan's purse and the child gift. You know, it's just something that it's just pulling me. And you can't really put a finger on it. You just know. You just know that's what it is. And I've had, for me, and I look at my life, and this is what's hard. Because I know, without a doubt, God called me to be a preacher. Now, I look at the crowd today, and I'm going, maybe not. But there's just something in me. I didn't sit down and say, Gary, be a preacher. I never heard that. I never heard God say that. I never heard anybody come and say, Gary, man, you got these gifts. You need to be a preacher. I never heard that. But there is something in me, there's this conviction on my heart, this conviction in my mind that says, this is what you're supposed to do. I can't figure it out. I can't deny it. I don't understand it. But I just know, and I'm going to come back to this as we wrap up the message this morning. I just know this is what God wants. Have you ever had feelings like that? That it's just something in you that's saying, you've got to do this. Maybe it's a children's ministry. Maybe it's joining a home group. Maybe it's hosting a home group. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a marriage. I used to joke with my mother-in-law. She's here this morning. She could testify. I used to joke with her that I got stuck with Laura. I couldn't get out of it. God picked her for me. I got to marry. I don't have a choice. I'm stuck. And we used to joke about that when we were dating. But truth of the matter is, she got stuck with me, and I'm blessed, all right? And some of you guys know that's the truth. But you have this compelling in it. And God does that. And I pray all of you had it, but some of you might not have it. Some of you may have never have it. I want to tell you something. In order to have that experience, you got to have the Spirit. I want you to look at this next verse of Scripture and to see the connection here. Look at what it says. Go ahead and push it one more time. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. I'm going to summarize right here, the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives in you and will be in you. The world don't know what I'm talking about, and maybe you don't understand it because you haven't had the Spirit. Once you become a Christian, once you cross that line of faith, once you reach that point in your life where you say something along the lines, and you know where I'm going, if you've been here for a while, God, I'm tired of doing things my way, I want to do them yours, come into my life and take control. God gives you His Holy Spirit. And when you have that Holy Spirit, He can compel you. He can change you. He can chain you. He can bind you to certain things. See, and that's what God does, and that's what that Spirit does. And so you have to have that Spirit. Let me kind of give you an illustration. I worked at a movie theater, right? I've shared that illustration many times, how cool I was. My white patent leather shoes, my plaid jacket, my black cane. 18 years old, hiring and firing, man. I was the thing, man. I was in, the 70s. Now, come on now. Some of you remember the 70s now. And I live like that. And when I first worked at the theater, we had what was called bags of popcorn. They would deliver 30, 50 bags of popcorn, big old popcorn bags. And you'd pour them in this glass, big old glass container thing. And it had hot lights. And that's how they heated popcorn. And that's how people come in and buy the popcorn. It was just popcorn in big plastic bags. Well, they finally decided to put a big old popcorn popper in there. And they put this popcorn machine in there. And then what we would do and what I would do as assistant manager, back then we had two movies at a time. Anybody remember those days when you had intermission? Anybody remember movies when you had intermissions? Well, what I would do is, as assistant manager, I would start cooking popcorn just before intermission. And then I would open the movie theater doors and try to suck that popcorn smell down into the movie theater. Because what's people going to do? They're going to come out and buy some popcorn. That smell just pulls them out. See, what I'm saying is God's Spirit just pulls us along. He wants to pull us into what God wants us to do. We need to listen to the prompting of the Spirit. But some of us kind of go through life kind of like, kind of like just a bottle of soda, just kind of flat, just kind of there, or this bottle of soda, we're just kind of cruising through life. But you know what we need to do sometimes? We need to shake ourselves up. Sometimes we need to let God shake us up. You know, we get in our comfort zones. We get in the things we like doing. We get around the people we like being around. Get our little cliques going. And we just kind of hang around. What I'm saying is sometimes God needs to shake us up. Sometimes God needs to get us in a different zone. God needs to get us thinking differently, and he shakes us up. You know, God's kind of shaking me up this morning. Maybe I need to open this. You thirsty? You know, God, I get a prompting, all right? You know, but what I want to say is, do you need shaken up? That's what this message, I hope this message will shake some of you up this morning, that maybe you've just been cruising through life in your little comfort zone, and you really never felt God prompt you to anything. You never felt God call you to anything. You never felt God pushing you to anything. You never felt God pulling you to anything, and you've just been comfortable in life. And what I want to challenge you with this morning is God's Spirit wants to prompt you. God's Spirit wants to move you. God wants to call you. Just as that popcorn out in that lobby would call you when you smell that popcorn in the movie theater, that when you walk in there and you smell that fresh pop, I got to have a bucket of popcorn. God is sitting there saying he wants you to do something. And sometimes he needs to shake us up. We just get comfortable in our lives and we cruise along and we get comfortable. Look what this last scripture says here in this portion. Look at what it says. For I am full of words, and the Spirit within me compels me. Inside, I am like bottled up wine, like new wineskins ready to burst. Well, I couldn't bring wine to church, so I brought soda pop. And I think if I opened it up, it would probably make a mess. And since this isn't my building, when we get our building, I would probably open it up. Yeah. And then Dan is our maintenance man. He would clean it up. And we'd have fun. But I want to ask you, does God need to shake you up this morning? You know, as I go through this message, I'm going to ask you, does God need to shake you up? Are you just comfortable? Are things just okay? Or do you feel God compelling you? Maybe as I go through this morning, you're going to feel like maybe I need to start this ministry. Maybe I need to join the children's ministry. Maybe I need to be part of what the youth are doing. Maybe I need to be part of what the worship team is doing. Maybe I need to start this ministry. Maybe I need... See, I want to ask God to shake us up this morning and to call us. That's what Paul says. I'm compelled. I like what he says. I'm compelled. I'm being drawn into this and pulled into this is what God says. And so I just want to encourage us and to challenge us because God does that and God leads us. If you turn over and let's look at the second point, I want to put it this way. Certain uncertainty. Don't you like the words? Certain uncertainty. Have you ever felt God call you to do something and he didn't give you all the information? You ever felt like God was asking you to move in a certain direction, but you didn't have the knowledge of where it was going to go? Paul kind of said that. Look at what Paul says. Look at what the scripture says. I'm going to Jerusalem not knowing what will happen to me there. I'm going, but I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where it's going to lead. I don't know how it's going to work. I just don't know. And I'm sure maybe there's some of you here that feel that way. Maybe, you know, it's like, God, I know you want me to do this, but you ever feel like, God, I just need a little more information? Anybody besides me? You know, God, I know you want this, and I know you're pulling me this way, but I just need a little bit, you know. We have this desire. If you're like me, I like to know where it's going to go. I'm getting to the point in life where, like we went on this last trip, you know, I used to get all my maps out, and I knew exactly what roads I was going to take, and I knew exactly where I was going to go, and I would plot out my maps, and I'd know. This time when I went on this trip to see Jeremiah in Georgia, I took my iPhone that had a map on it. That's it. Okay, I'm going to this town. Push a button. Go down this road. And that's what I did. I just drove the road. Hopefully it's going to take me there. And would Lord pull out the map and say, okay, the blue line's leading. Okay, I'm still on the blue line. You know? And I did that. There's some uncertainty. Where am I going? It's like, where are we going to stay the night? Oh, there's a push this button on the phone and figure out what hotel's ahead of us, and we'll stay there. And literally, that's what we did. We just kind of drove and pushed buttons, and there's this uncertainty. How many of us like living life that way? Now, I'm going to be honest. Would I like to live the big life that way? Uh-uh. You know, I kind of like having direction. And God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. God, just show me the way. Tell me where it's going to go first. Anybody want the first? Anybody want to know the end before you get on the road? You know? And sometimes there's some uncertainty. Sometimes we're not going to know. God, is this the guy you want me to marry? I'm not sure, God. Is he going to be a good guy? You know, I'm getting ready. I'm really excited about my next sermon series, guys. I'm going to talk about it at the later, about dating and all of that. But dating is not just about marriage, and marriage is about dating. All right, I got to get those words right. Yeah. But what about job? You know, God, if I take this job, have kids, you know, and we wrestle with all of this, and there's uncertainty in our life, and it's not easy to live life with that uncertainty. But I'm going to tell you, when you do God's will, there's going to be times you just don't know. And I can think of many, many occasions as I've done this in my life. I remember going off to college. You know, Laura and I get married in June. We move to Riverside in September. I'm 21, she's 17. I don't always recommend getting married young, but that's what we did. We drive off to college. I've never been on the Cal Baptist campus. Don't even know anything about what school's going to be involved. I have no idea. Got to go down there. Don't have a job. I don't know. I just know I need to go to that school. Pastor said, you want to pastor churches in California? Go to California schools. Okay, that's where I'm going. You load everything back of a truck in a trailer and head off to Riverside. Anybody have those uncertainties? Some of you probably have it today. It's, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? What are my choices? What do I do from here? How do I make this choice? And that uncertainties in life can be frightening. But it's the reality of God's will. I want to tell you something. If you serve God and if you seek God, you will have uncertainty. You will not have all the answers. You will not know everything before you take your first step. Because that first step is called a step of faith. Oh, some of you guys know. It's a step of faith. And it was a step of faith for Paul. Yeah, I want to read this. As Paul, we're going to look into Corinthians right now. And here's what I want you to do. You can see the verse on your page. It's here before us. When I get to that underlined word, now listen, I want you to say it with me, all right? So we're going to read this, and when I get to that underlined word, I want you to say that word with me, and then look at what those words mean. Look at what he's saying. After I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I'll be going through Macedonia. What is this now? Perhaps. I didn't hear very many say perhaps. Let's try this again. Perhaps I will stay with you a while or even spend the winter so that you can help me on my journey. Here again, ready? Wherever I go, I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I to spend some time with you. If the Lord permits. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door of effective work has opened to me and there are many who oppose me. I want you to see that picture. Look at those words again. Look at what those are. Perhaps, whenever, hope, permits. Does that sound like certainty to you? Paul is getting ready on this journey and he's not sure. Perhaps, maybe. We'll see. If you're like me, I like answers. If you ever do this test called the Myers-Briggs, I'm a JEPD. JEPT? I can't remember now. It's been a long time. But whatever it is, I like the book closed. I like things done. I like having the picture before me. I like having, I'm that logical, analytical person. It all works out. But it doesn't, life's not that baggage, is it? There's going to be some uncertainty. You don't expect all the answers. God may be prompting you today and you're sitting there going, well, I just don't know. Where am I going to live? I don't have all the skills I need. You know, I host a home group. I can't do that. Why not? Well, God's calling me, but I just don't. See, what are you wrestling with in that uncertainties in life? A job. Who are you going to marry? Married life itself. How are you going to wrestle with those things? And how are you going to live with that? And I want to challenge you, don't wait till all the answers are there. You know, the church is in a big one right now. We built a building. There was a lot of uncertainty. We built the building. It's going great. We're going to finish. It's not quite as quick as I wanted. Is it as quick as you guys wanted? I don't think so. Yeah. There's uncertainty. But you know what? That's something I prayed all week long. I'd have no doubt we're where God wants us. God is working. Look at the next one. Here's number four. I like this one because this one is real. I want you to write this in bold letters. Predictable resistance. Man, make that big. Resistance. Big block letters. Resistance. Here's my guarantee to you. All right? You can take it to the bank. They won't give you anything for it, but I'll give it to you anyway. If you follow God and you seek God and you want to do your life God's way, you will have problems. Did you hear me? I didn't say, become a Christian and you'll never have a problem again. You'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise all your life. No more stress. No more worries. I'm telling you the exact opposite. When you follow God's will, there will be resistance. Look what Paul says as he describes this. I only know. Now remember, he says, I don't know what's going to happen, but now he says, I do know this. I don't know everything, but this is what I do know. That in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that person and hardships are facing me. Paul's sitting there saying, I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know everything, but I do know one thing. I'm going to have trouble. And he did. You want to read the last part of Corinthians. And Paul sits there and talks. I was whipped. I was beaten. I was shipwrecked. See, so often we make God's will the easy way. Watch for the open door. Watch for everything to go smooth. When everything's going smooth, it's God's will. I want to tell you, no. Just because things are going smooth doesn't mean it's God's will. All right? Satan can make things smooth too. Did you know that? Satan can make things go easy too. God's will is hard. But I want to say it this way too. Just because it's difficult doesn't mean it's not God's will. Just because you got to push the door open, just because you got to crowd your way in, just because you got to work your way through, doesn't mean it's not God's will. All right? Does that make sense? I think so often people say, it's an open door, it must be God's will, and it's not. Some people say, well, it's a closed door, it must not be God's will, and God wanted them to push. All right? We need to understand there's going to be resistance when you seek God's will, when you do things God's way. It's going to happen, and you're going to experience it. And I guarantee that, and I guarantee what's going to happen to you. Let me give you some illustrations. We live in a very materialistic society. Would you guys agree? Yeah. Bigger, better, newer, faster. And we live in this society. You want the new car? At least I know I do. You know, I like that new Prius. It's really nice. They're coming out with a station wagon Prius, I hear. And we get this materialistic world, and let's say you got debt. Maybe you got credit card debt, and maybe you feel God saying, you know what, you got to get out of this debt. The job market's hard, things aren't well, and you got to get out of this debt. You got to get through these hard times, and you got to deal with this. You know, I'm watching this commercial last night. Call us if you have $100,000 worth of credit card debt. You better call somebody if you got $100,000 worth of credit card debt. You know, and I watch that. But here's what I want to tell you. Let's say this morning you're feeling God, or maybe the other day you were feeling God during this last week, that God's saying, you need to deal with this debt. I want you debt-free so you can give more and serve more to what I need you to do for me. And you're feeling that. Here's a guarantee I give you. Something's going to break. Something expensive is going to go wrong. Something that you would never dream of, the car is going to blow up. I don't know about you guys, but that's how my life works, all right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, you got this idea, you got this plan, you feel God wants you to do this, you start going down that road, and it's like, you hit a wall. You know? And it happens. What about our marriage? What happens if we want to nurture our marriage? Anybody? I want to nurture my marriage. I want my marriage to become stronger. I need to do that. Laura's not happy with me right now. Just so you kind of get an idea, Laura's been sick. I've been married to Laura 35 years. I've never seen her this sick. You need to know that. her stomach, whatever it is that's going, that she had was really, really bad. It dealt with her stomach, and it lasted for several days. And I'm serious. I've never seen Laura this sick. Well, confession's good for the soul. I'll tell you before she tells you. I'm not a good wet nurse, okay? I'm not good at that. I walk in, you know, how you feeling? Well, that's when I say how you feeling, it's saying, do you need anything? I didn't say, do you need anything? Yeah. I'm in trouble. Last night, I could tell she's feeling better because she was holding me accountable for what I didn't do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And so I need to nurture my marriage. All right. I need to work on my skills as a nurse and caring for my wife. And I confess, that is not me. You know, this is, when I'm sick, I want to curl up in the fetal position with my blanket, my blanket. Notice I said my, but not a blanket, my blanket, all right? I got a blanket, all right? I'm a big kid. Yeah. I want to just curl up in a fetal position with my blanket and leave me alone. Don't talk to me. Don't touch me. Don't come and say, do you need some water? I don't want it. Just leave me. So I treat Laura the same way, and that's wrong. That's how we usually do it. Isn't it how we treat others, how we want others to treat us? Kind of true. But let's say I want to work on my marriage. I need to nurture my marriage. Here's the thing I want to guarantee you. If you say you want to work on your marriage, you say you want to nurture your marriage, you say you want your marriage to be better, I guarantee you, before the week's over, you'll have a big old fight. I guarantee it. There'll be something go on. There'll be something happen that you two go at it tooth and nail. Because that's how Satan works. When you make your mind up to do something that you feel God really wants you to do, I guarantee you Satan will throw resistance. Things will go wrong. It will not always work. I put a quote up here. I want you to see this quote up here. It's easy for God to build your faith when you're in the valley. It's easier for God to build your faith when you're in the valley than when you're on the mountaintop. And that's true. See, when you're on the mountaintop, it's look what I did. Look where I'm at. Look what I accomplished. You know, I'm Gary the Great. When you're in the valley, it's like, God, help me now. See, God can teach us more when we're down than when we're up. The truth of the matter is this. If you're like me, I learn more with my mistakes than I learn when I do right. And that's the reality of life. See, we need to see that and we need to realize that. So here's what I want to say to you. You might write this down here, a couple of words. Do not give up. All right? If you're following God's will, you're doing what God called you to do, you're seeking God, you're wanting to do exactly what the Bible says, you're that moral will of God, you're traveling down that road, that personal will that's kind of narrowed down that God wants me to do. Don't give up when things get tough. What's that old saying? When things get tough, the good get going or something? I don't know how that old saying went. But don't give up. It's worth the fight. It's worth the journey. It's worth the price. It's worth the cut. Don't give up. You will face resistance. Things will go wrong. But don't give up. See, the Spirit will call you. The Spirit will pull you. The Spirit will lead you. That moral will of God, that path that God has for us. And He'll narrow that down to a lane in the freeway. This is how I look at God's will. He narrows it down to a lane in the freeway. And there in front of that lane, I see the Spirit of God saying, here, let's go this way. I've heard people say, God's my co-pilot. I'm going to give you a word. If God's your co-pilot, you guys are in the wrong seats. God needs to be the pilot. See, that Spirit's going to lead us. And there's going to be uncertainty. There's going to be questions. Like I said, Laura and I are driving down there, and we're in Lubbock, Texas. And it's kind of like, okay, we got the roads are curving around here. There's like four roads, and it's like, which way do we go? And so we come over this overpass, and we go down this side of the overpass, and I go straight. I said, Laura, look at the phone real quick. Look, look, look. And I was on the wrong road. We got off the blue line. I got off the blue line, so I had to make a U-turn and come back. and get back on that blue line, that will that I wanted to go to the next town to get home. See, that's God's will. There's that will there, and there's uncertainty, and there'll be questions, and there's going to be resistance. I got tired of stoplights. We had to get off the road one time and had a toll road. You get off the toll road, you had to stop at all the stoplights going through town before I got back on the road that I wanted to go on. And we need to see that in our lives. There's going to be some uncertainty. And that's going to be the reality. But don't give up. See, Paul is sitting there saying, I'm compelled to follow him. I don't know everything that's going to happen. I don't know all the things. I know I'm going to have some troubles. I know there's going to be resistance. I've been beaten. I've been whipped. I've been shipwrecked. I've been stoned. I've had all this go on. But I'm going. Look at what he says here as he goes on. Let's look at our last point. There is an uncommon certainty. There's an uncommon certainty, an undeniable certainty. Look at what he says. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Paul's sitting there saying, I don't know much. I don't know everything. I know this is what I have to do. I have to preach the gospel. Whether there's a crowd or no crowd, whether it's on top of the mountain or down in the valley, whether I'm on the ship or being stoned, whipped, beaten, I have to preach the gospel. See, I believe in your life, in my life, there's an undeniable will of God that you know it. And it's different. Yeah. One of my struggles and one of the things I struggle with, some people think it's all religious stuff. You know? See, I believe God calls people to be tellers at banks. I believe God calls some people to be teachers at school. I believe God calls some people to be maintenance workers. I believe God calls people to be carpenters. He didn't call me to be a carpenter. Try to get me to cut a straight line. You'd be in trouble. Yeah. He didn't call me to work on cars. Now, when I was a kid, I liked that. Now, I don't want to get my fingers greasy. Yeah. I go down to work around the church. I put gloves on to pull the weeds. Yeah. I'm weed eating my yard with a pair of work gloves. We all have different gifts and different callings. But God wants you to know with certainty. God's not playing, I've got a secret you can't know. Ha, ha, ha. God's not trying to hide his will from you. God's not trying to say, you got to dig deeper before you find it. God wants you to know exactly what he wants you to do. That's his will. And he wants you to know without a doubt, I know, I can stand here with you and I can't explain it. I don't understand it. And I know God wanted me to preach. I've been through some times that it was really questionable. You know, when you're graduating school, you went through 7 years. You went through college, junior college, you get a master's. And I'm standing on the deck next to a friend at our campus, and it's like, where are we going to go from here? Talking about uncertainty. I don't know. God called me to pastor. There's got to be a church somewhere. You know, and you start praying and looking. Then I get my first church, and I end up resigning. Now it's like, now what? God, you call me to preach. You prepare me for all of this. I've invested all my life, 10 years. And now what? But you call me to preach, so there's a place for me to preach. There's a place for me to pastor. Some people that I can lead and share my life and journey with. I just know that. I can't explain that, but I know that. Has there been uncertainty? Yes. There been questions? Yes. Has there been resistance? Yes. But I know. And I believe all of us can know that, and all of us need to know that. Nehemiah, there's a great story in the Bible. It's a book of Nehemiah. If you haven't read a good book, you want to read a good book in the Bible, read the book of Nehemiah. Very positive, very encouraging book. If you're in journey right now in your life, and you're kind of struggling with some decisions, and you're kind of struggling with which way should I go, and how should I do this, and whether it's about who you're going to marry, or it's about your marriage, or it's about raising kids, whatever it's about, finding a job, you know, right now, the economy like it is, you can't find a job, read the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is kind of, God comes to Nehemiah and says, Nehemiah, I got a mission for you. There's a city, and Nehemiah is living in Babylon. Okay? He's living in Babylon. That would be Baghdad today. And he says, Nehemiah, back in Jerusalem, you know, where Jerusalem is today. The city is destroyed. The temple is destroyed. There's no walls around the city, Nehemiah. And I need somebody to go back there and redo that. Well, Nehemiah is not a carpenter. Nehemiah is a cupbearer. Matter of fact, Nehemiah, you want to know what Nehemiah did? Nehemiah was the taster. Somebody's trying to poison the king. That was Nehemiah. Before the king took a drink, here, Nehemiah, check it for me. You know, it's like the mafia is after you. Go start my car. They're trying to get me here. You know? And Nehemiah, you know, he's not qualified. God, I don't know. He doesn't get this. So Nehemiah surrenders to God's will, knowing I got to go do this. I've got to go there. And I have to do this. And as he goes there, he finds resistance. There's some guys living there that don't like him. Can you believe that? Doing God's will and somebody don't like you. Some guys there that don't care for what he's doing. Matter of fact, they write a letter back to Babylon saying, hey, you got this guy here causing trouble. And Nehemiah's just building the wall. Now the guys, they're not only building the wall, they got to keep their weapons because people are trying to attack them. Talking about some resistance. And Nehemiah is trying to do all of this because God's compelling. He's got this certainty. Look at what he says. Look at this next scripture right here. So I sent messengers to them with this reply. I am carrying on a great project. I cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? These guys wanted to have a meeting. Listen, let's meet. Let's meet. And Nehemiah says, listen, this job's, I'm not going to stop. I know what God's called me to do. I'm going to go do it. See, I want to challenge you. What is it God's calling you to do? What is it? I mean, you know, I believe God calls people to get married. I have no doubt Laura was the spouse that God picked out for me. I have no doubt. I have no doubt I'm not supposed to be in Salida. I know. There's things I know. There's uncertainties. Trying to build a church. I don't know a lot of stuff about that. We got the good people around us that do and can help. But I don't know. But I know one thing, and you've heard me say this before. There's a lot of things I don't know. But the one thing I do know is I'm going that way with Jesus. That's it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I'm going that way with Jesus. I want to ask you, what about you? What about you? What is it God wants you to do in your life? Some of you already have things you need to do. Some of you are married and you have kids. And you need to think about, what about my kids? What about my family? Some of you are right now are struggling at work, and there's things at work that are just, you just can't deal with, and you'd love to quit, but there's not any other jobs out there. And you just, you know, just, is this really where God wants me? Some of us haven't even felt anything. Maybe what I want to say this morning is, does God need to shake you up? Maybe God has shaken you up. Since I don't drink Pepsi, somebody's going to get this after church. I want to make sure I give it to you good. You know, but I want to ask you, what does God need to shake you up in your life? Maybe he's already shaken you up. Will you follow him? Will you do what God has asked? The bottom of your page, I put it real simple. What is the Holy Spirit prompting me or you to do? What is he saying? What's he calling you to do? I'm not going to say it's going to be easy. I'm not going to say, you know, just go. It's going to be fine. You'll never have a problem. I'm not going to say you're going to, matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have some resistance. Things won't go well. There will be tough times ahead. But I'm going to tell you this. I would not trade anything in my life for where I am today. There have been times that have really been hard. There's been some highs and some lows, and I guarantee you I'm going to have some highs and lows in the future. But I wouldn't trade anything in my life. I just want to be where God wants me to be. I'm going that way. That's all I know. I don't know what's out there. There's going to be some unknown. I know I'm going to have some resistance. Things aren't always going to go well, but I know he said go that way, and I'm going to go that way. What about you? What about you? Do you need to be shaken today? Are you willing to pray that God will shake you? That's scary. That's frightening. Change. comfort zones? Are you willing to be shaken by the Lord? I want us to pray. Let's bow our heads.